We're now eager to hear the rest of the circuit assembly program, aren't we? You know, Satan relentlessly tries to draw us away from our Heavenly Father. What lures does the devil use? And how can we resist them? Well, Brother Kent Morden will answer the questions in a talk, Love God, Not the World.
If you can't see what I'm holding here, that's a good thing, because it's very dangerous. What I've got here is a fish hook, and it's got three sides. You definitely would not want to get snagged by something like this. It could cause serious injury or some serious damage. You know, Satan would love it if we would just bite onto that hook, and then he could pull us away from Jehovah. But you know, not even a fish would bite something like this without a lure. So what kind of lure would Satan use in the sea of mankind to cause a lover of Jehovah to become a lover of the world? Well, let's take a look at the Bible to find out. I invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to take a look at verse 15 to 17. And as we do, see if you can identify what those lures are that Satan uses. It says, "Do not love either the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because everything in the world, the desire of the flesh, and the desire of the eyes, and the showy display of one's means of life, does not originate with the world, but does not originate with the Father, but originates with the world. Furthermore, the world is passing away, and so is its desire. But the one who does the will of God remains forever." You see, Satan targets our heart with the things in the world. He wants to crowd out our love for Jehovah. So what would be the first lure that Satan would use? Well, I'll give you a hint. How about a big, juicy worm? You see, if you had a hungry fish and you took a big, juicy worm and put it on the hook, well, I tell you, whoop, look at that. I told you it's dangerous. You got to be careful. Look at that, a big, juicy worm. You know, it looks so tasty. And so what is the first lure that Satan would use? Well, as we can see in verse 16, it's the desires of the flesh. Basically, when we're talking about that, we're talking about eating and drinking and sex. Well, each of these is a gift from Jehovah when used properly. But the devil, he tries to exploit our natural desires and our fundamental need for sustenance and turns these into perhaps a craving for overindulgence in food, in drink, or in immorality. And whether you know Jehovah or not, it comes with a feeling of degrading and worthlessness. In Eve's case, Satan used food. You know, she had apple trees everywhere, all kinds of fruit trees to eat from. But wouldn't you know it, Satan influenced her to crave the one tree that Jehovah had forbid. But not Jesus. Remember when he was starving in the wilderness for 40 days? And then Satan came along and he said, well, why don't you just turn the stone into bread? Well, Jesus would not put his own physical desire ahead, even a desire to eat, which is proper. He would not put that ahead of his love for Jehovah. How can we follow Jesus' example? Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And you might want to keep a marker on 1 John. We're going to come back there. So let's turn over a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 4. And there we'll have a look at verse 1 and 2. It says, since Christ suffered in the flesh, you too arm yourselves with the same mental disposition. Because the person who has suffered in the flesh has desisted from sins, so that he may live the remainder of his time in the flesh, no more for the desires of men, but for God's will. So, how would you feel if you hadn't eaten for 40 days? You know, hunger is one of the worst pains to endure, especially for a long period of time. Well, in verse 1, it says that by suffering in the flesh, Jesus desisted from sins. If the only way to get food meant that Jesus would use Jehovah's power in a selfish way, Jesus would not do it. Why? Because his love for Jehovah was greater than his love for food or to feed himself or to look after his own needs. Now, what if we crave something that Jehovah hates? Well, in verse 1, you notice how it continues there? It says, you too arm yourselves with the same mental disposition. Clearly, Jehovah is confident that we can do it. What does a policeman do? When he comes into a house and he knows that there's a criminal in the house, well, he arms himself for protection. You see, arming ourselves with the same mental disposition that Jesus had will protect us from Satan's criminal activity. We can ask ourselves, what do my choices reveal about whom I love the most? It's like a young man, and he's courting a lady. His decision to marry her confirms his love for her. So you see how it's in the decision? The decision gives us the chance to show our love for Jehovah. What's the second lure that Satan uses? Well, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to give you a little hint. What do you think it could be? You see, this particular lure has a special design. It's designed to catch the fish's eye from a long distance. And so what it'll do is it'll reflect the light and provide some glitter, and the fish will come and investigate. What is the second lure that Satan uses? Indeed, in verse 16, it says, the desire of the eyes. Well, this is different from the first one because instead of twisting what we naturally need, Satan tries to add what is bad to our wants. He knows the power of visual appeal. Have you ever gone into a store and you walk out with a bunch of stuff you don't even need? For example, you know, when Esther asked me to pick up milk on the way home, you know, it's a long walk from the milk cooler all the way to the checkout. And so I come home and I got bags of stuff. And she's like, well, what's all this? I got ice cream. I got chocolate sauce. And so we can see how the desire of the eyes can quickly distract us. Eve saw that the forbidden fruit was something desirable to the eyes. She didn't need it, but all of a sudden she wanted it. The more she looked at that tree and thought about it, the worse it got. Well, Satan used the exact same type of tactic with Christ Jesus. The scriptures tell us that he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth in an instant of time. You know, whatever sort of vision that Satan put together, you can be sure that it was designed to be very appealing to Christ Jesus. Maybe he tried to appeal to the thought of immediate power, maybe prestige, maybe not having to wait for God's kingdom. You can have it all now. But Jesus rejected Satan's offer by quoting God's inspired word at Luke 4 and 8. So, how can we follow Jesus' example? We need to read the Bible daily. Jehovah is pleading with us so that we're well acquainted with the scriptures and so that we can bring to mind verses that can help us to keep our thinking straight when we're facing temptation, just like Jesus did. With the scriptures in mind, we'll be able to use our power of reason. What does that allow us to do? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll find out. 2 Corinthians 10, and let's have a look at verse 5 together. It says, "For we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to the Christ." Well, here, Jehovah is stressing the need for us to have tight control over what we allow ourselves to think about. Now, let's suppose we're presented with a violent or immoral image, or the desire to overindulge in food or alcohol or some type of drink. What do we do? Well, immediately our mind should recognize that this does not match up with the knowledge of God. For example, it's not chaste, it's not righteous, well spoken of. And then we can bring that thought into captivity so that it doesn't sink down into our heart and motivate us to continue with it. Our thoughts have a powerful effect on the kind of person we are, and so we need to continue considering upbuilding things. We cannot expect to be holy if we're feeding on improper thoughts and desires. We must love Jehovah with a clean heart. When we base our decisions on the Bible and not on the desire of the eyes, well, we show our love for Jehovah. What's the third lure that Satan uses? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's something like this. You see, this particular lure is called a trophy lure. And one who uses this, boy, he could have quite the story, quite the fish stories to tell. So what is that third lure? Well, let's take a look at verse 16 again. You'll notice that it says, "And the showy display of one's means of life." Now, you see the asterisk there? It points our attention down to the footnote. It says, "the bragging about one's possessions." So that really helps us to get a clear understanding of what this scripture is referring to. Adam and Eve manifested pride when they rebelled against Jehovah. Well, what about Jesus? Well, remember when Satan tempted Jesus by saying, "You know, throw yourself down from this tower, because Jehovah said he will send his angels and he will save you with a commanding call." Well, Jesus humbly refused to make a dramatic, showy display of his favored position. So how can we follow Jesus' example in this? Well, never would we want to ever brag about our possessions or our privileges of service as though they were trophies. Contentment with life's necessities will enable us to make Jehovah's will our highest priority. So we want to constantly manifest an attitude of thankfulness and humility and gratitude to Jehovah for everything that we enjoy, whether physical or spiritual. That will show Jehovah that we love him. Satan's goal is to use these lures to turn us into enemies of God. Wanting friendship with the world is tantamount to unfaithfulness to Jehovah, as James 4 and 4 explains. neither age, nor experience, nor privileges of service will shield us from this danger. If you think back to the first century, you might remember an individual who became unfaithful. Do you remember Demas? Well, the Apostle Paul said that he started to love the present system of things, and he abandoned true worship. Friends, very soon, the Great Tribulation will test the desires, love, and devotion of every human alive. Those who love this world will pass away with it. It's absolutely crucial that we maintain our love for Jehovah whenever we face temptation. Jehovah is confident that we can do it. And very soon, Jehovah will open his hand and properly satisfy the desires of every living thing. Let's consider our review question. If you go to page 3 of your program, you'll notice it's question number 2. It says, how can we successfully avoid the love of the world? The answer? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. We can imitate Jesus by, number 1, refusing to satisfy desires of the flesh. By refusing to satisfy desires of the flesh in a way that displeases Jehovah. In a way that displeases Jehovah. Number 2, by rejecting any desires of the eyes. By rejecting any desires of the eyes that threaten our relationship with Jehovah. That threaten our relationship with Jehovah. And 3, by avoiding prideful obsession with possessions. So by avoiding prideful obsession with possessions. May all of us work diligently to maintain our love for Jehovah and not the world.
Thank you, Brother Morden, for alerting us to the devil's tactics.